This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me, it is Brandon Kiley. We have to do it. You know the Monday roll call. Raise your hand if your college football team won this weekend.
My hand's so close to being up.
No, your team didn't win.
Yeah, but it's as close to being up as it could be without actually being raised. But, yeah, no, it's not up.
I don't know what kind of standings you guys have, but there's only a W and an L column. There's no MV. You know, there's none of those columns. So I understand Kansas looked good this weekend, had a chance to steal one on the road at Texas, but your team lost the same way my team lost. Now, my team's loss was a lot more disappointing than your team's loss, but they both lost.
We take moral victories. I know you're not supposed to, but Kansas fans, I think, are absolutely puffing their chest out today. 50-48, a brutal last-second loss to Texas. I feel like people are at least optimistic about the Les Miles era and where it's heading.
You guys are the Alabama of moral victories. You guys are Clemson when it comes to moral victories. Thanks so much for listening to The Drive. Again, it's Carrington to my right. It is the sports machine, Brandon Kiley. So we're going to do a little bit different. We have free pizza to the other place. Ooh. If you want a 16-inch pizza, all you have to do is three things. Number one, you got to be listening at 2 o'clock and you got to tell one friend. You don't got to tell two friends, just got to tell one. Number two, you got to be calling number 6-913-576-7610. And number three, you have to say, Missouri, you let me down. If you do all three of those things, then you are the winner of a 16-inch pizza from the other place.
I've taken bubble baths longer than MU is in the top 25. I'm not saying. I'm just saying they weren't in very long. And I love bubble baths.
When's the last time your team's been ranked?
It's been a while.
Okay, I'm just saying, if we're going to throw those shots, I'm just saying, come correct right now.
Well,
Come correct.
Preseason basketball rankings are out. KU's there, number three, that's what we're talking about.
No, congratulations. Kansas is ranked. Missouri, I think they're ranked 39th in the college basketball poll.
Like that.
That's not really how the polls work. They only put a number by 25 of those teams. So I want to play a quick snippet of a conversation from Teddy Bruschi, Rex Ryan, and Randy Moss. So this was on Sunday NFL Countdown. And they think that Kansas City can benefit from not having its starting quarterback.
I watched the Chiefs play defensively, special teams, just their overall attitude. And it seems like they know they got a player that'll give them 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. So they're playing like they're going to score 30 points a game. So the defense now, you are forced to have more of accountability, to play better, to win some 20-17 games, to play better defensively, learn how to play complementary football, which is what they need to do. I believe if they get their minds right during the streak where, however, Pat Mahomes is gone, Pat Mahomes comes back and joins them, they can be an even better team because they have to win. They're forced to win without him.
Well, as crazy as it sounds, I totally agree with you. I mean, look, their defense hadn't shown up until what happened when Pat went out of the game. That defense went to a totally different level.
They scored on defense, so, yes.
Yeah, it's amazing to see that happen, but man, oh man, I'd like to play him without Pat Mahomes.
Man, I would have to disagree with you both. When you look at what Patrick Mahomes means to this organization, to the franchise, yes, I'm an offensive player. When you look at production of the offensive guys, Patrick Mahomes is going to be missed for a couple of weeks, and this team is going to pay for it. Not knowing what they're going to get in quarterback more, but they're going to miss the MVP.
So that was Teddy Bruschi, Rex Ryan, and Randy Moss on Sunday NFL Countdown talking about the injury to Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now, I disagree with the point about the defense. I think that's a little bit silly. But I do understand at its core what the first two gentlemen are saying. We went through this 2 weeks ago now at this point where I went around and I asked you guys, what are the Chiefs good at other than being great at quarterback? And no one had a really good answer. I do think that the next 2, 3, 4, 5, however long Patrick Mahomes is out, will allow the Chiefs to do something other than Mahomes go be great. Because Matt Moore is not going to be great. Matt Moore is not going to be able to save you and take you out of some of the situations that your quarterback Patrick Mahomes can. Can you run the ball effectively? Can you play good defense? Can you cut down on penalties? Can you do some of the little things to win games until Patrick Mahomes comes back? So I do agree at its core that this could be long-term beneficial for the Chiefs.
No, the only thing that's long-term beneficial is Pat's ankle hasn't been 100% since the first half of the first game. So he's sitting out because of his knee. In theory, when he comes back, he should be as close to 100% as he's been this entire season. But what Teddy Bruschi said, and then Rex Ryan agreed with, was so ridiculous. Randy Moss, straight cash homie, had to step in and be the voice of reason and be like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think the defense played better because Patrick Mahomes went out and all of a sudden they realized, okay, we don't have Superman, so we really have to step up. That's not how these things work. They played well because they played the Denver Broncos, who are quarterbacked by Joe Flacco, who have one of the worst offenses that I've ever seen. So I don't think that all of a sudden versus Green Bay going forward, the defense has figured something out. What they figured out is that Denver sucks.
You know, I agree. And I agree. The point about the defense, I don't think is a very good point. But I don't know if you're picking the Chiefs to win this week. It's Monday. They don't play till Sunday, so there's a lot to get into.
Vegas is not. Home underdog.
How are the Chiefs going to win, honestly? Because it was billed as the quarterback matchup. It was going to be the young gun Patrick Mahomes up against the first ballot Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. This is not going to be a shootout between Matt Moore and Aaron Rodgers. That is a shootout that the Chiefs are going to lose every single day of the week. How are they going to win this game? They're going to have to do some things fundamentally that they were not doing while Mahomes is there. So you and I are on the same page about the defense. I think that's a very silly point. But I do think at the deeper point is this team has to find another way to win. Because over the last year and a half, we've seen Mahomes and his greatness take them out of so many situations.
Absolutely.
And he has been the Band-Aid on all their problems. All those problems have not gone away. This team still can't protect his quarterback. This team still can't run the ball. This team can't still stop the run. Can they do any of those things over the next couple of weeks against teams that match up very favorably against them?
See, now, what do we always talk about almost every single week? The Chiefs' big advantage is quarterback and coach. Well, the quarterback's gone for the next couple of weeks, so it's time for the coach to step up, and he's going to have to be creative, and he's going to have to be original. He's going to have to be the guy that won his 200th game a couple of weeks ago that we make him out to be, the first ballot Hall of Famer. They're going to have to run the football more. They're going to have more screens. Travis Kelce is going to have to be great. And again, Andy's going to have to really step and be more clever because when you've got Patrick Mahomes, it makes your job really easy. When he goes down, especially with this defense, you're going to have to do other stuff. What he's going to have to do is dust off the Alex Smith playbook because Matt Moore can't do half the things that Patrick Mahomes can, and you're going to see a completely different, at least offensive side of the ball for the next 3 weeks, because if you try to do what Pat did without Pat, it's impossible.
I do want to get back to what you said about the defense and the Denver Broncos, because I think ultimately, aside from the Mahomes injury, which is obviously a big story, the second thing, which we didn't really talk about on Friday, and it made sense because of the newness and the freshness of the Mahomes injury, is the only question to ask yourself from Thursday's game is the defense real? I've seen enough of the defense, and then that one game against the Broncos was so different than the other ones. Is that the start of something? Because you can't really go from two polar opposites than going from Joe Flacco to then Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And say what you want about Kirk Cousins. He is as hot as any quarterback in the NFL right now. Like, that Vikings offense is one of the top three or five offenses in the NFL. So if you are unsure about the Chiefs' defense, or you think, hey, maybe that Broncos thing did something, they found a way to get to the quarterback, they played well on third downs, they did some certain things, we are about to have the answer to that question very quickly with the Packers and the Vikings coming into Kansas City.
Yeah, these are not the weeks you want Matt Moore out there. You're playing teams with a combined record of 11-3 and maybe the two hottest teams right now in the entire NFC. I think what we saw against Denver was Denver's really bad. I'm not going to take a lot away from that because the Chiefs' defense was so complete. Against the rush, 21 carries for the Broncos, 71 yards, average of 3.4 yards per carry. Heading into that game, the Chiefs have gone four straight games, allowing 180 yards to different teams on the ground. And then through the air, well, Joe Flacco was pretty much Joe Flacco. He stinks, 21 of 34 for no touchdowns. And the secondary had four starting cornerbacks out there on a short week in altitude. So the pass D was great. The run D was great. That tells me that either a ton of stuff somehow changed over 4 days or it was your opponent. And I think that you're playing now one of the best offenses. Well, maybe not one of the best offenses, at least one of the best quarterbacks that you've seen all season. So it's going to be a drastic difference coming up on Sunday.
The Chiefs defense was dominant on Thursday.
Yeah.
They weren't dominant really at any point last season. They were dominant against the Broncos. Can they build on that momentum? Can they take some of the things that they did well against the Broncos, and can they do that over the next couple of weeks until Patrick Mahomes comes out?
Nine.
Now, some of the stats are unrealistic. They're not getting nine sacks on Sunday against the Packers. The Packers aren't going to go 1-for-13 on third down the way the Broncos did. but they had an identity. They got constant pressure. They look to play with a different energy than we saw at any point so far this season. Can they maintain that now with no Patrick Mahomes? Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. The trade deadline is less than 10 days away. Will the Chiefs be active at the deadline? We'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And with a Sunday off from Chiefs football, we'll get into something good and something bad from a weekend of watching the NFL. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Text line 69306. I've been waiting all day to hear Carrington talk about Mizzou. I just got in my truck. Hope I haven't missed anything. Oh, no, you didn't miss it. We're going to talk about it. 3 o'clock.
What happened to MU?
They lost.
Oh. To Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Really? As a ranked team, huh?
Yeah, no, they were ranked.
Okay. Well, that was their first loss of the season, right?
They were. Past tense.
Oh, yeah. Were. Wyoming. Whatever. We'll talk about it.
I get all your jokes off. You know I'm all for the jokes.
No, you're the one who's trying to sell me that you and BK, the fool's gold, the snake oil, Florida and Georgia are coming up. Like that's
no,
on you guys.
No, that's no. I'm off. I mean, believe me, I'm gonna make fun of Missouri enough on the show. I just want to point out.
I wrote love letter to their offensive coordinator last week.
I read that. It was a good article.
I just want to point out that during basketball season, when I make fun of your team, I don't want you to talk about how Missouri's not good. Because your team hasn't played a relevant game in 11 years, and you're getting all the Missouri jokes off. Mm-hmm. So I just want that energy to be consistent. Because Missouri went out there and laid a dinosaur egg against the Vanderbilt. I knew 15 minutes into the game exactly what was going to happen. BK saw my tweet. I was like, I don't know. This doesn't feel right. I've seen that Missouri game so many times in my life. I wanted to believe that it was different, but no, it's never going to be different.
Kelly Bryant was so bad.
Everybody was bad. Odom was bad. Kelly Bryant was bad. Albert O was bad. I could go up and down the list of people that let down Missouri. And the thing about Mizzou is they're going to beat Florida, and then we're going to be like, oh, man, what could have happened this season? Then they're going to lose at home to Tennessee. Like, I've seen this Missouri story.
You went to the Haunt at Worlds of Fun, right?
I did.
Well, it's pretty cool if you haven't been. It's real dark, and there's fog everywhere. The problem for somebody like me that's directionally challenged is I literally walked around in circles for 4 hours, and it was fun, and then we left. That's what Barry Odom feels like to me. The guy's just constantly chasing his tail, walking in circles. Haven't we seen this loss or versions of this loss every single year he's been the coach?
I mean, they had one earlier this season.
Yes.
Like every year they have this exact same loss 5 weeks ago. So, yeah, no, they've absolutely had it. They've lost to Mid-Tennessee State. They lost to Purdue. I mean, they've
done this. At least those were high scoring. They scored 14 points.
They've done this a lot under Barry Odom. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we'll be joined by Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated and the Monday morning quarterback. Speaking of Mizzou, my enthusiasm and desire to watch the NFL on Sunday was greatly diminished by Missouri's defeat. It took me an extra hour to really get going, to find the excitement to watch football, but I eventually found it, and I saw a lot of good and a lot of bad. Hit it, BK.
Something good.
I'm going to give my first something good to Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens. Honest question. Why can Lamar Jackson not win NFL MVP?
He can.
I'm looking at it, and I'm watching his team, and I'm watching how they respond to him, and I'm looking at the rest of the league, and no one has really separated from the pack. I guess you could say Russell Wilson, but he certainly hasn't run away with the award. Lamar Jackson should be up for NFL MVP. Now, maybe he is not your traditional passer. But Lamar Jackson is one of the most effective players in the NFL with his arm and his legs. They had a 3rd and long that he then got 15 yards and then turned around on 4th and 2, and then he scored. He has been dynamic the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati, 236 through the air, 152 on the ground. Yesterday against Seattle. Now, not a good passing day. Only threw 143 yards on 20 passes. But 14 carries for 116 yards and one touchdown. He's going to get at least 250, 275. It's not going to be the conventional way, but he's going to do that every single week, and he's not going to turn the ball over. And this year, he stayed healthy. Lamar Jackson should be in the MVP conversation. He gets my something good.
And how good is that Ravens win looking now? I mean, honestly, that's their best win of the season with a bowl.
You're not even close.
So my good goes to Aaron Rodgers. You were just talking about the MVP race. I think Lamar Jackson should be near the top. Your guy Russell Wilson lost. Deshaun Watson lost. Patrick Mahomes is injured. If they gave out the award today, it might just go to Aaron Rodgers. 13 touchdowns and 2 interceptions coming off a game yesterday where dude went 25 of 31 for 5 touchdowns. His team is 6-1, and don't look now, but he's coming into Arrowhead on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers is back to the old Aaron Rodgers. My good from yesterday is A-Rod back to himself and coming into Arrowhead. Uh-oh.
My good from yesterday was the Texans losing to the Colts. Now, this is obviously with the Chiefs spin. I just can't see a Jacoby Brissett Colts team going 12-4 this year. Maybe they can. Maybe I'll just be proven wrong time and time and time again.
What's
that this
crazy
Colts
is
team,
who they lost to. The Chargers and the Raiders. Like, how the hell did that happen?
Right, and I think that's just who they are. Like, I think this is a 10-6, maybe 11-5 Colts team. I think they're probably closer to 10-6. I could have seen the argument for the Texans, though. You've got a fantastic quarterback who's in the MVP mix. You've got a solid coach. You've got a good defense with elite players on that side of the ball. I could have seen the argument for the Texans going 12-4 this year. But losing that game makes it more difficult than you would have originally anticipated. They still got to go to Baltimore. They've got to play the Patriots. They have a tough division game on the road at the Titans remaining. I don't think the Texans are going to go 12-4 the way we expected. I think we were all kind of chalking up the Colts game as a win for them over the weekend. They weren't able to get it done. The Texans losing that game, I think, is a really good thing for the Chiefs moving forward if they're going to stay in the mix for that 2 seed.
That was the good from the weekend. It wasn't all good. Hit it, BK.
Something bad.
I'm going to give my bad to the Philadelphia Eagles. Denzel Washington can say it way better than I can.
Oh, I say it again, you've been had, you've been took, you've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok.
The Cowboys gave the Philadelphia Eagles the absolute breaks, 37-10, right in front of everybody on Sunday Night Football. An absolute embarrassment. Philadelphia is one of the 5 most talented teams in the NFL, but this season has not gone any way how they expected it to go. That team is far too talented to be as poorly playing as they are right now, and they just appear to be pushing in so many different directions. I say it all the time. Football is hard enough to win when everybody is on the same page. But you got anonymous reports, you got the coach going on sports talk radio guaranteeing victories and then walking it back, you got players questioning other players showing up for meetings. The Eagles are an absolute mess right now. They're the most disappointing team in the NFL. My bad goes to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Maybe you were hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok. Not me. I tried to tell you at the beginning of the season. You told me Philly's going to the Super Bowl. I said Philly sucks. They're not going to make the playoffs. And, well, maybe that's one that I actually got right. You know what else is bad? Mitchell Trubisky. That guy is hot trash. If you watched the Bears game yesterday on TV, you should get a refund. Like, that was such bad football on the offensive side. It's crazy to think that people who actually get paid and have titles and make a lot of money decided to draft Mitchell Trubisky, not just over Patrick Mahomes, but over Deshaun Watson also. Yesterday, Mitchell Trubisky threw the ball 54 times for 251 yards. It took him 54 passes, an NFL quarterback, to get to 251 yards. He's been healthy for 5 games this season. He's thrown a grand total of 5 touchdowns. He's the next coming of Rex Grossman or Kyle Orton or any other Bears quarterback that sucks with a good defense. The bad, with a capital B, is Mitchell Trubisky. You were talking about Joe Flacco as the worst quarterback in the NFL. He's got some competition with my guy Mitch.
I will say, though, for the Chicago Bears, you got to call a blank. You got to call a game plan that at least gives you an opportunity. You know how many times the Bears ran the football?
Yeah.
7. With Mitch Trubisky, there's no reason for you to run the ball just 7 times. Like, we get on Alex Smith, or we get on Andy Reid. At least you're throwing the football with Patrick Mahomes that you can at least justify that being part of the game plan. How do you throw the ball 54 times and only run it 7 with Mitch Trubisky? The game plan doesn't help him out as well. So that goes into your something bad as well.
My something bad is this division, man. It's terrible.
Well, that's true.
The Chargers stink. The Raiders stink. The Broncos stink. They're all bad. I think you can make a case that as of today, from 2-4, so excluding the best team in any particular division, the AFC West is the worst division in football right now. The Raiders are awful. They were a mirage. The Broncos stink. They have the worst starting quarterback in the league. And the Chargers are just terrible. They find ways to lose. I think their talent level is that of a 9 or 10 win football team, But they always find ways to lose
the
football
games.
The
way they lose is incredible. Like, the different ways that team finds to lose is absolutely incredible.
And yesterday they found a new and excruciating way to lose. It's amazing. Every single week they find a new way to make it happen. Phillip Rivers, for his entire career, has basically been, you get the ball down by 3 to 4 points with a chance to win, and you get to find a way to lose it in the end. It's amazing the way that it happens to them every single week. I fall for it every single year. The Chargers are terrible. This division is awful. And it's probably the single best advantage that the Chiefs have going for them right now.
The Chargers are Mizzou. That's what they are. They're Mizzou. Like, I've seen enough Chargers games to know that once or twice a year, they're going to do something that makes absolutely no sense. That's Missouri.
Both have really cool uniforms, so I'll give them that.
People are making the case for other divisions being worse. The Patriots division is not worse than the AFC West outside of the top team right now. The Bills would easily be the second best team in this division. And the NFC East isn't as bad because I still think that the Eagles are at least talented. It would be the second best team in this division. The AFC West stinks.
What team in the West besides the Chiefs is even going to go 500 this year? Honestly. Chargers are 2-5. They're probably not going to. The Raiders are trash.
The answer is none of them.
None of them. Chiefs are going to win this division by 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, the fives may be pushing it, but no, the answer is none of it. No, I mean, that's the answer. I mean, 8-8's the ceiling, I think, for any of the other three teams in the division. Coming up in just a few, we will give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we'll be joined by Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. He had a very interesting note today in his Monday morning quarterback. Jalen Ramsey wanted to play for Kansas City. How real was the possibility that the Chiefs are going to trade for Jalen Ramsey? We'll talk about that and more coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We will be joined by Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated coming up momentarily. But first, here's your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word POST, P-O-S-T, POST, to 72881. That's POST, as in Post Malone. You can win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. Sean, you definitely listen to Post Malone.
Oh, I went to the Post Malone concert a few months ago.
Not surprised in the least bit. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. All you got to do is listen in on 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance is coming up in 1 hour. Complete rules and listings at 610sports.com. One more time for those of you keeping score at home. Post, P-O-S-T, to 72881. Post. Who's your favorite Post player at Kansas?
Now they always say congratulations. You don't like Post Malone? Probably Thomas Robinson when he was at KU.
The only time I've ever cheered at Allen Fieldhouse was the dunk Thomas Robinson had against Baylor. I was there for that game. I had never seen a college player do something like that.
I know
that.
The one you're speaking of.
It was incredible. Let's go to the phone line right now. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. I'm happy to call him friend of the show. Albert, thanks a lot for coming on today.
You got it.
So I wanted to get into this because today you wrote about the Chiefs and their pursuit of Jalen Ramsey. It sounds like Kansas City wanted Ramsey, but Jacksonville wouldn't trade him to the Chiefs.
Yeah, my understanding is the Chiefs didn't even get a phone call at the beginning of last week. And yeah, that part of it's interesting just because I think the Jaguars had sort of criteria for where they wanted to send him. And I don't know if they were overly concerned with making Jalen Ramsey happy with the final result in all of this. And I think Ramsey had a desire to go to the Chiefs. You know, obviously Patrick Mahomes' presence is a big part of that and all the stability a franchise quarterback gives you. You know, when it came down to it, really, beginning of last week, this was the Jaguars talking to three teams, and that was the Ravens, the Rams, and the Eagles.
Right now, we're talking to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. So, Ramsey is one corner off the board. We saw Minka Fitzpatrick off the board. Do you think that Patrick Peterson will ever be available from Arizona?
I personally don't. I mean, they're contending right now, guys. That's the thing. You know, I know they started the season, like, really, really rough, like, 0-3-1, and they're the first pick in the draft last year. You know, the flip side of that is that they've really got some positive momentum going now. They've won 3 in a row. I think Cliff's shown some things that maybe some people didn't think he had in his bag. They've really emphasized the running game the last 3 weeks. And they've been able to work around some holes in the roster. And so, you know, the chance to inject Patrick Peterson back into that, I think, is a real positive for them. You know, and so, I sitting at 3-3-1, and you could argue – that Steve Keim could be fighting for his job still, even though they just made a coaching change. And, you know, Cliff obviously wants to build a foundation that he's going to be able to work off of for years to come. I have a hard time seeing who in that building is going to be motivated to move Patrick Peterson.
Okay.
Now, the one guy I would keep an eye on, and I just think you should get them to listen, would be Xavien Howard with the Dolphins. But I don't think Patrick Peterson is going to be I don't think Patrick Peterson is going to be on the move. No.
So that kind of leads me into my next question. So Noah Minkah Fitzpatrick, he went to the Steelers. Noah Ramsey, he went to the Rams. You don't think Patrick Peterson. What other corners, maybe Howard's a name, I know you just threw him out there. What possible corners could be available at the deadline here in 9 days?
Yeah, well, I'm going to give you one name that's not going to help you at all, and that's Chris Harris, because I don't think Denver's going to trade him in division. But Chris Harris is going to be one that's going to be out there, at least I think over the next eight days. He's in the contract year. Emmanuel Sanders is in the contract year. I don't think the Broncos are going to go full fire sale and get rid of everybody. But I can certainly see one of those guys. I can certainly see a couple of those guys getting moved, and Chris Harris is on that list. I would look at the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, it's at least worth a phone call. I don't think they'll move William Jackson, but, they do have some. They do have a few, corners down the line in the roster that are a little more expensive. And so maybe you could ask them about a Drake Kirkpatrick or someone that's further down in the depth chart. And then, like I said, Howard will be one that I don't think the Dolphins have any intention to trade him, especially because I think his contract actually is going to look fairly reasonable after this year. But if you were really desperate and you wanted to throw something out there and help the Dolphins build this, war chest of draft assets that they've built, I think you'd at least get them to listen. And he's a really, really good player who I think would, be a solution not just for this year, but could be a solution long-term for the position for you.
Albert, how sure are we that the Chiefs are going to do something versus just sit on their hands with the roster they have now?
I mean, they've got the cap space, which helps, and I think that puts them in a unique situation. Some of the other contenders out there, the Rams were one that didn't have a ton of cap space. New England doesn't have a ton of cap space. There are teams out there that are going to have to do some gymnastics to get themselves in position to bring guys in. Because of the Chiefs' current situation, with Patrick Mahomes being on a rookie deal, they really don't have to do a lot outside of just take on salary to trade for a guy. So that's their advantage. That said, I think, I think you've got to be at least a little careful if you're them, right? I know they were willing to go to a certain level for Jalen Ramsey, but they already gave up a 1 and a 2 to go get Frank Clark. And, I think eventually you're going to be looking at the reality of Patrick Mahomes on a second contract. And the question becomes, do you want to start selling off all these assets that you have when down the line your margin for error might be a little shorter? And so, in that case, you'd have to find a way to find cheaper talent to fill out your roster, and the draft's the best way to do that. And so I don't think they're going to be giving away draft picks. But, if the right opportunity were to come along for a Xavien Howard or a Drake or Patrick or whoever it might be, I certainly think they're going to be out there on the market looking for people. Just like I said, I don't know that, unless there's some other premier player comes available or it winds up being Xavien Howard, that they're really going to stick their neck out and sell off the draft capital they still have.
We're talking with Albert Breel, Sports Illustrated, here on The Drive. Albert, regardless of the team or the position that the guy plays, what big name players are going to be available for the taking at the trade deadline?
Yeah, so I think you have to look at teams, right? I would tell you, Atlanta would be one team to watch. They've got cap problems going forward into next year, and they've got a bunch of young players that are at the end of their rookie deals. Guys like Austin Hooper, their young tight end, Devondre Campbell, their young linebacker, Vic Beasley, was a top 10 pick a few years ago. Those guys, I think, would be available. You might, talk to him about an older player like a Mohamed Sanu. Denver, again, they're another team with, your Chris Harris, your Adam Gostis, your Emmanuel Sanders. The Bengals, their history hasn't been to move guys and to conduct fire sales. I think they're sort of in that situation I explained with the Cardinals are in, where I think it's still you're still got that priority of trying to build a foundation for your new head coach. But they've got a lot of attractive players in their roster. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, obviously A.J. Green. And so I think what you're looking at more than anything else is really teams and where those teams are going into the last week before the trade deadline and finding your sellers. And so I certainly think that a lot of people are going to be looking at your Atlanta, your Denver, your Cincinnati, those sorts of teams. And I would also say, you know, there are some malcontents on some better rosters too, like Michael Bennett up in New England. I think he would be a guy that teams might look at and say, maybe there's a player-for-player swap we could work out with the Patriots.
Right now we're talking to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. Albert, there's so much information out about Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to call it conflicting, but it sounds like just varying degrees of optimism. What are you hearing about Patrick Mahomes' knee injury, and what are you hearing about a timeline for his return?
Yeah, so I think they're going to be careful. I mean, like what I was told, is, and this has been out there, of course, the there's a dislocated kneecap. Additional damage. Like I think, like, you know, really what you're looking at here is going to be, and hang on a second, I'm sorry, guys. Basically, it's the standard damage that comes with a dislocated kneecap. And, that means it's going to be sort of a play-it-by-ear situation, and they're going to listen to Patrick over the next few weeks. And what I was told is, that a month after the injury was, a decent stab at what the timeline might look like. And the day after he suffered the injury, they were a month out from that game in Mexico City against the Chargers. And so, like, what I was told in that was that it's going to be close as far as the Mexico City game, and they've got the bye right after that. So, they'll see where he's at, and I think he's got a chance to play that Charger game, you know, with the knowledge that if they did want to play it safe, they get him 2 extra weeks of rest if they want to do that.
And that's Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated with the latest on the trade deadline and Patrick Mahomes. Albert, drive safe. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated.
I feel like that's the obvious thing to do. The last thing he said is if you've got the bye and you can rest him for an extra week, like, why would you bring him back a week early and then have the bye when then he's going to have to take the time off, opposed to just letting him have straight time off, take the extra week, let him heal the knee and the ankle? Like, to me, it's pretty obvious. You wait until right after the bye to bring back Patrick Mahomes, even if the doctors say he's ready tomorrow.
Yeah, agree. I mean, right after the bye is the game against the New England Patriots. So
that's a big game.
Like, do you want Mahomes' first game to be back on the road against that Patriots defense? Is something they're going to have to answer.
I mean, it's either that or on the road on a terrible field in Mexico City. So, yeah. On the road at New England where the phones don't work, that's the one that I would take given the opportunity.
I mean, neither one are good options,
for
certainly
sure.
Coming off a knee injury. It's just which one
what
are you going to
pick? One of these seems less likely to lose Mahomes for the next 6 months, so I'll take that one.
I wanted to get you guys' take on this. Did you get the same vibe that I got from Breer, that the Chiefs are looking for a premium player? Every name that he linked the Kansas City Chiefs to or said they were interested was someone that we've heard before. Like, Chris Harris is a player that we've heard of before. Xavier Howard for the Miami Dolphins. Like, I kind of got the vibe, at least the impression that Chiefs are giving off to reporters is they are big whale fishing. Like, they are going for guys that they think are drastically going to change the roster. That's certainly what Jalen Ramsey would do. That's certainly what Patrick Peterson would do. That's what a player like Chris Harris. That's at least the vibe I got from listening to Breer.
Yeah, they might be going big whale fishing, but they're going to end up with a tuna. I mean, at this point, who's out there? What big whales are we talking about that they could actually land? Not Minka Fitzpatrick, not Jalen Ramsey, not Marcus Peters, not Chris Harris, not Patrick Peterson. Every whale that we've talked about in the secondary has either found a different team or for whatever reason, in the case of Patrick Peterson, probably not going to get traded. Chris Harris, division opponent. Marcus Peters already played for the team. It's been circumstantial, but at this point, you can say you want to go out and get the big name guy. They're just going to end up with some dude if they end up with anybody at all.
I think that's the right call, though, C-Dot. I think this is the right move for them, is to either stand pat or go get a big name, because their corners have been fine this year. They haven't been necessarily the reason why they've struggled at times. Like, I'm perfectly fine with Mo Claiborne and with Bashaud Breeland and Tre'Davious Ward and Kendall Fuller. Like, those guys are fine.
You're right, though, but that's through 7 weeks. And what happens when the teams get better, the weather gets colder, and the playoffs roll around? At that point, it'd be nice to have an established player in the secondary compared to what they have
right
now.
Those guys are established. Like, we can say they're not very good, but most of the other dudes that are just, like, mid-level corners that you could potentially go get are those guys. They're different names. They play for different teams right now. but they're those guys in terms of the quality of the player. If you're going to improve at the position, the way to do so is by going out and getting one of these premier players, a Chris Harris Jr., a Xavien Howard, a Patrick Peterson. Those are the guys that actually substantially change the defense. If you're not going to add one of those guys to the defense and you're just going to add a mid-level player, go do that at a different position. Go do that at linebacker or a defensive tackle. Go do that at a position where right now you don't have those mid-level players and they don't have those guys at linebacker and defensive tackle. They do actually have them right now at corner. They've got four of them whenever they're healthy.
Let me correct myself. The Chiefs play the Raiders after the bye, not the Patriots. I have my weeks off there, so they play the Raiders. That would probably make a lot of sense to bring them back after the bye to play a home game versus the Oakland Raiders. I would disagree with you. I would consider Xavien Howard to be a big whale. Now, I know he's not the name that Ramsey is, but that's a really good player. That would be a welcome addition to the secondary. I'm thinking of defensive linemen and teams that were just named. I mean, Geno Atkins would make a lot of sense. Now, I am against spending more resources on their defensive line, but you can get out of the contract at this season. Cincinnati's tanking. If you could get Geno Atkins for a fourth-round pick, is that a lane you want to go down? It would make a lot of sense. I mean, that's a big name. Like, Geno Atkins on this defensive line, if you can go Chris Jones, Geno Atkins, and Frank Clark, and then Alex Okafor, and those are your four down linemen, that gives you a pretty good defensive line.
Especially if you can do it the way you're talking about, which is essentially a rent-a-player, a Johnny Cueto-type situation where you're signing him up for the now to help you get over the hump, but not for the next couple of years. Because in the case of Minkah Fitzpatrick or Jalen Ramsey or even Patrick Peterson, you wouldn't just be signing that guy up for right now. You'd have him for the next couple of years. So if it's an expiring contract like Geno Atkins, it's absolutely worth it.
Text line 69306. Nobody wants the Chiefs' raggedy picks. It's going to take players. Then they're not willing to do a deal. The Chiefs are not trading any players to acquire a better player at the deadline.
They're going to have to overpay. Their picks suck. They're going to have to overpay. That's probably how it's going to work.
I think the only – I don't really think there's an overpaying player left on the board, though. I guess what player would you say I want them to overpay for? Other than Patrick Peterson, like, what player is going to be available at position need? Like, I wouldn't overpay for Geno Atkins. Like, I don't think he's worth a first or a second round pick. A third's probably the most I'm willing to spend for him as a defensive tackle. I just wouldn't classify that as overpaying.
Per his situation, I would overpay a little bit for Geno Atkins. Your guy Xavien Howard, I would overpay for him. It's also going to come down to who's actually available, because it's fun to have these conversations, but we're 1 week and one day away from that's it, and the conversation's going to be past tense, not current. So at some point, we can talk about Patrick Peterson. We can talk about all these names. The guys have to become available.
Yeah, but I'm looking at bad football teams. The Bengals are a bad football team. You can make a phone call to the Bengals and acquire a player. Patrick Peterson, maybe the Cardinals have gotten too good and they're not trading him, but Xavien Howard is available.
That dream's over with. That Patrick Peterson dream, and maybe you've had it more than anybody else in Kansas City, dude, that's over with. Like, they're 3-3. They've said the entire time they don't want to get rid of him. He's not going anywhere.
I agree. I'm talking about the other teams. The Bengals are available. Like, it's not – we don't got to speculate. The Bengals are the second worst team in the NFL.
They're terrible.
If you want Geno Atkins, you can go get Geno Atkins. It's not we're saving him. No. He's a 30-year-old defensive lineman on a bad football team, and there's an out for his contract at the end of the season where he's still due $35 million. So he's probably going to get cut at the end of this season anyway. You can go get Geno Atkins. I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins right now. There's no team in the NFL that loves draft pick more than the Miami Dolphins. So if you want to go get Xavien Howard, if you make a good offer, you can go get Xavien Howard. So I think at this point we have a pretty good idea of who the four or five sellers are at this point. Maybe one or two is going to emerge here over the next couple of days. And as we play one more week of football before the deadline, but for the most part, we know who the six worst teams in the NFL are, and we know the players who are going to be available. Coming up, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in our pop quiz. But first, let's get into a brand spanking new Levine's List.
Levine's List on a Monday means your updated power rankings, and there's a lot of movement this week. There's actually a brand new number one. At number 10.
There's a new number one?
There's a new number one, he said.
What did the Patriots do to move
down? Hang on, we'll get there. The Seahawks. Actually, give me honorable mentions first. The Texans, you're out of the top 10. Carolina, you're at number 11, just on the outside. Here's your top 10 as of this moment. The Seahawks at number 10, coming off a loss. Number 9, the Colts. I know Jacoby Brissett's their quarterback, but they came to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs, and they are hot right now. Number 8, the Bills. They're 5-1. At some point, they're probably going to find their way out of the top 10, but right now they're at number 8. Number 7, I don't know who the best team in the NFC North is. I'm not sure if it's the Packers or the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are a good football team, and as C.Dot mentioned, the hottest quarterback in football right now, don't look, Kirk Cousins. the Vikings at number 7. Number 6, the Ravens. I was just talking about this earlier. That Chiefs win over the 5-2 Ravens looks really, really good right now. Lamar Jackson's absolutely a top 3 contender as of today for the league MVP. Number 5, the Kansas City Chiefs. Didn't play on Sunday, unchanged from last week. Number 4, the 49ers. They're 6-0, and they got Jimmy at quarterback and a hell of a good defense coming off a shutout of the Redskins. I know it's the Redskins, but it's still a shutout. San Francisco at number 4. Number 3, the Chiefs' opponent coming up on Sunday, the Green Bay Packers. Talk about a good defense and an offense that's finally starting to put it together. Aaron Rodgers had 5 touchdowns yesterday. The Packers at number 3. And here's the movement. The Patriots fall to number 2. That's right. The Patriots are now at number 2. And here's why. There's a more complete football team than them, and it's the Saints. Say what you will, they're 6-1, but look at who they've beat and where they've beat those teams. They beat Chicago, they beat Seattle, they beat Dallas, they beat Houston, and the Saints have a really good defense. They've also got a really good offense. The Patriots don't have a good offense at all. The Saints, I know it's crazy, are a more complete football team, and they've been doing their backup quarterback, and Drew Brees comes back as soon as next week. The new number 1. And this week's power rankings, the New Orleans Saints overtake the Patriots.
I don't know if I would have the Saints at number 1, but I can't disagree with the
logic. Because is that ridiculous to have the Saints at number 1?
Not at all. I think, well, I can understand if you're looking at it right now and you say from top to bottom, from offense, defense, special teams, coaching, the Saints have been the most complete team in the NFL this year. I actually think that's true.
Much more complete than the Patriots. If they played head-to-head, Patriots might beat them. They'd probably be favored.
There's no one that quotes the line more than you. What would the Patriots and Saints be on a neutral field?
You're acting like it'd be a huge line. It'd probably be Patriots by 2, something
like that. Is
Drew
Brees playing, or is Teddy Bridgewater the quarterback? Because if Drew Brees is playing, I actually think it would be basically a pick 'em on a neutral field.
Yeah, it'd be really close.
You think it'd be a pick 'em?
I mean, gun to my head, I'm taking the Patriots.
So you think they're better than them?
No, it's power rankings. And right now, I think the Saints are the better football team. That's what I'm saying. By the time the season's over with, when the playoffs roll around, we'll revisit this conversation. But right now, I mean, who have the Patriots beat?
No, they haven't beat anybody. I'm asking you.
And how good's the Patriots' offense?
I'm asking you, today if they played a football game, the Patriots and the Saints, who would you pick to win the game?
It'd go to overtime.
I would pick the Patriots to win the football game. I think the Patriots would beat the Saints. I think the Patriots beat every team in the NFL.
Do you think the Saints are the second best team?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I would pick the Saints over every other team, not the name of the Patriots.
Because I was
how my power rankings would work.
I was checking all the power rankings at ESPN.com, Fox, CBS, NFL.com. Nobody has the Saints any higher than 4. So I get it. I'm on an island here.
That seems surprising.
Most of these places have Patriots 1, Packers 2, 49ers 3, and then Saints 4. I'm just really impressed with the Saints.
I'm surprised you have the Chiefs at number 5 right now, because if we're talking about who would play this week, I don't know how you could possibly have them in the top 10.
Really?
With their quarterback situation
as
what it is?
Do you think they're in Seattle right now?
Like, I think they will be back in the top 10.
That's what the answer is.
If we're projecting forward to the end of the season, or like really even a month from now, I think they're a top 5 team, but they don't have Patrick Mahomes right now, so I don't know how I could possibly have them in the top 5.
I know you want me to say no, but I think they're going to rally against Green Bay on Sunday night. They're a home dog for the first time in a long time with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. I think this team rallies around Matt Moore. I think that Andy Reid has a great game plan, and I think the Chiefs go out there, and if nothing else, keep it close than the odds makers think right now.
If they win on Sunday, they will get the 2 seed in the AFC.
And it's all good. They'll be 6-2 at that point. Pat's going to be coming back in a couple of weeks. They'll be feeling really good against that Vikings game. The first half of the season will be in the bag. Like, they'll be feeling really good about themselves.
I think they're going to lose by 2 touchdowns.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have more confidence in them beating Green Bay than you had against them playing Denver last week with Patrick Mahomes.
Denver and Joe Flacco are much worse than I thought they were.
I knew that going into it. That's why I was
so good
surprised.
Good for you. You were right about one NFL prediction this year.
I was so
surprised. Pat yourself on the back.
I was so surprised when you were siding with the Broncos. Now you're siding with the Chiefs over
who'd
the
who'd I pick
Packers.
To win that game?
I mean, you want to get serious about it?
Who'd I pick to win that game?
I told you were going to do this. You were going to say everything about the Broncos and then pick the Chiefs.
That's right. I took the Chiefs.
So you can be good on
both
sides.
And they won.
You can be good on both sides.
Damn right.
BK, do we have any time to do give us a minute? Hit me. I don't even need to take the full minute. I understand that some of you don't like the NBA. Some of you say, I don't like the officiating. Do you watch the NFL? Some of you say, I know who's going to win. The Patriots have played in 9 of the last 18 Super Bowls. That hasn't stopped you. If you can't get into the NBA this season, then the NBA is just not for you. And that's perfectly fine if NBA basketball is not your thing. But I'm telling you, there's only about 4 teams in the NBA that are not interesting. You've got great young stars. There's not one team that's more talented than the other. This is going to be a great NBA regular season. So lock in for the next 13 months as we celebrate the NBA regular season coming back tomorrow.
Joel Embiid will be the MVP this season. BK, give me a minute. See that. Did you see the Sooners Schooner take a spill on Saturday?
I did.
It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to laugh when stuff like that happens, but knowing that everybody was okay and the horsies are fine, I'm sorry, but I could watch that highlight on repeat all day, every day. That was so great. And now PETA wants to keep horses off the field, which is not good for war paint, the horse, or the horses on the schooner, or any live mascots. And I'm a huge fan of the live mascot. In order here are my favorites. Bevo, Ralphie, Mike the Tiger, Ugga, and the Air Force Falcon. Those are my top five favorite live mascots. A couple of years ago at the bowl game, you know they have the Falcon fly around the stadium and then back to the dude's hand. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Find the highlight on YouTube. Trust me, it'll be worth it. The Falcon goes Falcon and decides to take one lap around the stadium and then fly away and never return. You're going to want to check that out. That's my minute for today.
There is some breaking news in the NBA. Jaylen Brown has signed a four-year, $115 million contract extension with the Boston Celtics.
Giving money
so
away.
Jaylen Brown just signed a new deal. It was very funny. Jaylen Brown said, I will not sign your 4 years, $86 million. And then 3 days later, got 4 years, $115 million.
He averages 11 points and four rebounds for his career.
Pascal,
I like Jaylen Brown. That's a ton of
Siakam
money.
Siakam got a max contract over the weekend. The NBA is back to just giving money to anybody.
Siakam's awesome.
No, yeah, Siakam's worth the deal.
I don't know if he's a max contract player at this point.
Did you watch him in the playoffs?
Yeah,
we talked
good.
About
he's
this
nice.
The whole time.
He's nice.
He was
he's really
amazing.
Good. He's good.
And, I mean, part of the problem in the NBA is kind of like what happens to quarterback in the NFL, where if you get a player like Pascal Siakam and you're in Toronto and you can't really attract free agents and you get a player as good as him, you have to re-sign him or you're just going to have to keep drafting Pascal Siakam to not pay him.
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield's a good player.
Four for 94.
That was actually a good contract from Sacramento. Coming up in about 2 minutes, we will get into Sunday's action, and did the results from Sunday change the likelihood of the Chiefs winning the 2-seed? We'll get into that, but first, let's give you a chance.
Stand by for the air. Five, four, three, two, one. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's pop quiz is a move. You hit it, BK.
Quick, we've got to get across. Find the controls that extend the bridge.
I think I just blasted it.
They're coming through!
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. Keep it locked in. We will talk about Missouri's weekend. We'll talk about Kansas's weekend. And we'll talk about the weekend in the NFL. That's coming up. It's
The Drive. The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.